Writing doesn't have to be a solitary activity. That's why we host in-person retreats and workshops. At the Writing Excuses retreats, you'll get access to classes, one-on-one office hours, critique sessions, and activities to keep you inspired and motivated. Become a more engaging storyteller and learn how to navigate the publishing landscape. As you make meaningful progress on your stories, you'll also build connections with your fellow writers that will last for years to come. Check out our upcoming events at writingexcuses.com/retreats.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 9. This is Writing Excuses.
The reaction of who?
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Howard.
I'm Dong Lun.
And I'm Dan.
And I'm sure many of you writers out there are saying, Howard, it's supposed to be the reaction of whom? But if you've been following along with us, you know that right now we're in our fourth episode where we're talking about the lens of who, the lens of the character, how we are approaching our writing through a specific lens. And in this episode, we're finishing that up by talking about the fact that really reaction is everything.
Mm-hmm. There's a saying in theater, acting is reacting, where there's something that happens on stage and then you react to it. And the actions that you take during that reaction let the audience know what your character is thinking and feeling, because on stage, you don't get to go inside their head. As writers, we do get to let the reader inside their head, but often there's a mismatch between what's going on inside their head and the actions that they are taking.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're not showing enough reaction, things will fall really, really flat, right? There's a video essay I really love by Tony Zhu, who does Every Frame of Painting, about martial arts movies. Hmm. And one of the things that he shows is that in a lot of great martial arts movies, what you'll see is you see the actual blow land three different times. Mm-hmm. You see the first strike, you see it usually like a slow-mo zoom in of the strike, and then you see the reaction of the person who got hit. And it's that reaction that sells the impact, right? Because these are stunt performers. They're not actually hitting each other. They're hitting each other very lightly. And so when I see an emotional beat not land, when I see an action scene not land, it's because we don't see and feel the reaction. So I'm always telling people it's okay to slow down. People think that to get through an action scene, it's got to stay fast to keep things moving really, really well. And we're missing the reaction. And that's why things start to fall flat or not have the impact you want.
Yeah. Since we're on the subject of martial arts, one of the things that I love about martial arts fight scenes, and I saw this as well in a YouTube video that I can't remember which one it was. I can't give my sources as well as Dongwon can. Sebwood was talking about the importance of familiarity and resonance in a fight scene. Mm-hmm. The idea that I, as a person, have never been through a pane of glass. I've never broken through one. Whereas I have bumped my head on something. I have knocked against a wall, that sort of thing. And so you'll watch, you know, Jackie Chan, for example, and you'll see him crash through a bunch of panes of glass, like in the one I'm thinking of is the big fight scene in the Lego store. He goes through several panes of glass and then crashes into a cabinet. He goes through another pane of glass and then bounces off of a wall. And what that does is it gives us a reaction. It gives the audience a reaction they're familiar with. So that right at the end, that last bit of it, we go, ooh, because we know what that feels like. And that lets the audience react with the character. And that was so weird that now nobody has any follow-up to it.
This was the reaction of the reaction of me looking to Mary Robinette and thinking, oh, you have a response. And Mary Robinette looking to me and saying, oh, that look on your face suggests that you're about to say something.
Reaction.
And both of us were wrong.
I was just trying not to make this whole episode about martial arts movies because Dan and I could talk for an hour on this topic.
I mean, I'm okay with that. So here's the thing that I was thinking earlier about the showing the reaction multiple times, that when you're dealing with that reaction on the page, you're dealing with where does the character feel it in their body, what are the thoughts that go through their head, and then what is the action that they take as a result of those things, and how does it link to the things we've already been talking about, which is like motivation and their goals? How do those things tie together? I will see characters who receive terrible, shocking news, and all you get is a line of dialogue from them. And I'm like, how does that sit with them? Where do they feel that? And that's part of that slowing down and letting us feel it. It's not that your character needs to have a reaction every single time, but it is a way of disambiguating what their response is. Sometimes it's very clear what's going on. You don't need to put all of those things in, but sometimes you really need to slow it down so that we can that we can link to it. Like when you let us know how we feel it in our body, a lot of readers will also map that to their own body. If they tighten the shoulders unconsciously, you'll tighten your own shoulders.
Reaction is such an important one to focus on because, like you're saying, it is one of the first things that we leave out when we start to write too quickly, when we think to ourselves, well, I know how this person feels about what just happened. The audience is going to pick it up as well. I don't have to state it explicitly. It is one of the first things that disappears.
Yeah. And I will go through when I'm doing my revision and I will look for places where I need to layer that back in, where I have gone too fast and I've left it out. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh my goodness, there's so many things to think about when I'm writing, remember that you can layer that in later. But it is absolutely true. The other thing that I see people do is that the character will have a very cinematic reaction that is completely at odds with their goals, with their motivation, with the things that they're afraid of. The classic one is, you know, two people, like someone wants to get back together with someone else and they go into a room and they yell at them. And I'm like, how do you think that's actually going to work? Like that's not how that, or are all of the stalkers like out there, you know, like, yeah, I want to convince this person that I'm loving and safe. I'm going to stand under their window with a, in the rain with a radio. I'm like, that's not going to That's not going to get the reaction you think it's going to get.
Mm-hmm. One of my very favorite examples of reaction to things not going as planned, and it's cinematic, is in the, as of this recording, most recent Mission Impossible movie. There's a car chase in the middle where Ethan Hunt is handcuffed to, I've forgotten the actress's name and I've forgotten the character's name.
Haley Atwell.
They're handcuffed together and they're handcuffed so that Tom Cruise would not be in the driver's seat. And they switch vehicles, I think, three times. Mm-hmm. And the reactions of, wait, I'm not driving. Wait, you don't actually know how to do this thing with the car. Wait, you don't have a free hand to use your weapon. You, over and over again, things don't go as planned. Sandra and I and my youngest son watched this. I say youngest son, 21. Watched this in a hotel room at Gen Con. And this was his first time seeing it. And he, about three quarters of the way through, said, this is the most interesting car chase I've ever watched.
It's a great one.
It is so, and it's because it's all about reactions. It's mm-hmm. all about watching how the characters who have their motivations, who have their skills, are continually dealing with something going wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, the reaction sells the emotion in that moment. And, you know, Mary Robinette, you bring up a great point when the reaction and the action don't match when a character... That's when things start to feel really wrong. However, I will also point out that sometimes you can use that to paper over other flaws in your story, right? So I watched Twisters last night, which is one of the most fun blockbusters I've seen in a while. Truly, Hollywood remembered how to make movies again. And there's a whole thing where the first half of the movie, there's a rivalry between these two groups. And I stopped at one point and was like, it makes no sense. It doesn't matter if they're both at the tornado at the same time. It's a tornado. They can both be there. It's big enough, right? But they're papering over that by the characters reacting to each other constantly as they're creating this rivalry. And it was so fun watching them make faces at each other, make fun of each other, and outrace each other that I didn't care whether it made sense or not, right? Because they were selling me the reaction. They were selling me the emotional stakes and reality of these characters that it stopped me from doing the step back and think about it for a long time. And 90% of readers would never have done that, or viewers would never have done that. I just think about story too much.
Yeah. Another thing to think about when we talk about reactions that don't line up with your goals is that they might line up with something else. Hmm. You know, when you mentioned stalkers, that's now the thing that I'm talking about. I apologize. because that's a real thing that happens. Mm-hmm. People really do take actions that are not plausibly ever going to get them what they want. But it's because they are not reacting in that moment to their goals. They are reacting to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are able to present that properly in your story, that maybe they are reacting to a previous experience. Maybe they are reacting to a past trauma. Maybe they are reacting to a desire rather than a goal, which can be different things. If you don't put it into your story, the reaction will seem wrong. And if you do put it into your story, then that dissonance creates a really nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of contrasts, I think this is probably a good time for us to take a little bit of a break.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's been said, and I wish I could quote who said it first, that no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. This is not only an excellent foundation for military doctrine, it's also a very solid principle for writing. Your characters have a plan. If their plan survives from formulation all the way to the end of the book, assuming it's something they formulated in the first act, there probably wasn't enough reaction going on. We want to know what happens when the plan suffers and you have to come up with a new plan.
And so much of it is listening to your characters, right? I mean, and this goes back to the mismatch. When you have that mismatch, it often feels like because you needed something to happen for the plot, not because the characters were organically responding to the thing. And it's the thing I've learned from gaming as a GM. When I introduce a villain, when I introduce a scenario or an NPC, I cannot predict how my player is going to react. I might accidentally describe the bartender as being like 2% too hot, and now our session is derailed, and now we're just in this tavern for the rest of the next 2 hours.
Installing air conditioning?
Installing air conditioning, of course. Okay. Yes, because anyways, we're...
It's compelling.
And sometimes, you know, your villain just isn't going to have the impact that you want, and you need to find another angle, right? You can't predict sometimes how your character will react, and you need to listen to what their response is in the moment rather than what you need their response to be to move the plot forward. And sometimes that means either you need to change the dial on what the inciting incident is, or you need to let your plot shift to follow the character's response.
Yeah, sometimes I will make a list of possible responses that my character will have. And I think about what is the goal? What are they trying to achieve? What do I need them to achieve? And I list out things that that could possibly get us there. The other piece to that, to both of your points, is that often when we're thinking about our main character, we are forgetting how the people around them are reacting to the actions that they are taking.
This is the solution to the passive character. So many times there's a passive protagonist, right? The reluctant hero. You need people reacting to the situation that aren't that character, because if they're not reacting and taking action, it's absolutely maddening for the audience, and your story's not going to move forward. So you need to surround them with people who are having the big reaction to move things forward in that way.
Yeah. When we began with this lens on this lens on character, I talked about, or I invited us to use our own experiences as tools. And I want to lean into that again now, because I find in my own life, there are lots of times when something painful or unexpected or surprising happens, and I act, quote, out of character, unquote. I discover something about myself that usually I don't like, you know. Boy, I'm not the sort of person who says unkind things to someone else just because I've lost my temper. What's wrong? What happened here? And so the tool is look at your own reactions. Are there times when you've reacted to something and you've learned something about yourself, whether it was pleasant or unpleasant? And I'm putting that forward to our panelists as perhaps our hosts, perhaps as a question.
So I think that this is a great example, and it ties back into things that Dan and Dong Wan were talking about before, is the that thing where your character does do something that is out of character, and but when they do that, they still have to have a reaction to it. Mm-hmm. So if they snap at someone, and then that's the external reaction that they've done, but the internal reaction is, oh, I just said that. Is there a way I can fix it? Mm-hmm. You know, that is a thing that can allow you to have both. There's this great, one of my favorite celebrity interviews. Nathan Fillion is talking about being on soaps and how he was young actor on soaps, and one of the veterans said, at the end of the scene, they're going to push the camera in on your face. And you've got no script. You can't go anywhere. You can't. So you have three.
For heaven's sake, don't move.
Right. So you have three possible reactions. Did I leave the gas on? I did leave the gas on. I turned the gas off.
And I can now see.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan Fillion making each of those three faces.
Yeah. And once you start seeing that, it's like you see a lot of actors who have those reactions. But the thing about it is what he's talking about is letting the reader know how they are supposed to react.
Yes.
To what has happened. And so I find that sometimes at the end of a scene, at the end of a chapter, that I will look at it and go, okay, did they leave the gas on or did they turn it off? Mm-hmm. And think about how my character is feeling, but specifically how I want my reader to be feeling, what reaction I want them to be having as well.
A lot of times what you want to do is kind of going back to my initial example of the martial arts punch landing is show it, tell us how they're going to feel, show us how they're feeling, tell us how they felt. You know what I mean? And sometimes you need that structure to a scene. And that can be that can happen all in one sentence sometimes, mm-hmm. right? You can do it real quick. You can do it real slow. And all those things are really useful. But letting us understand the reaction and giving us time to process what the reaction is hugely important.
Yeah. As we've talked about it throughout this season, as we talk about tools, we describe them as lenses. And we describe them as lenses because the things that you are putting on the page are the things that are informing the reader about what they are supposed to be thinking, what they're supposed to be experiencing, what they're supposed to be feeling. And reaction is a critical, critical lens. Are we ready for homework?
I think we are.
I feel like we're ready for homework.
Yeah. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at one of your character's reactions and flip it. So if they take an action that escalates a situation, how would that scene play if they de-escalate it? Can you still get to the end point that you want? So take a look at those reactions and play around with them.
This has been Writing Excuses. Surprise! You're out of excuses. Now do something completely unexpected. Go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.